Hey guys, welcome to my podcast, Fast Break Hoops. I'm here with my co-host, and we're going to be now discussing...
Well, your occasional co-host. Check us out on A Girl, A Guy, and a TV. That's our other podcast where we do all sorts of commentaries. If you like what you hear, not so much sports related on that podcast channel, but we do a lot of movies and TV and everything like that. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, my co-host is very... great and qualified to do this job. She has a communications background and
communications bachelor's degree.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And my alias is Blue. So, hey.
And I'm Matt.
Yeah.
And what are we going to be doing today?
Okay. Today's episode is your top 5 selections for best NBA players of the 1990s. If you want to check out our previous episode, we discussed your top 5 selections of the players from the 1980s. Yes. So please check that out.
Yes.
So let's get started. We like to watch a lot of NBA countdown shows or like list shows, and I think it's a lot of fun for people. I mean, everybody, it's all subjective at the end of the day. Everyone's going to have their own list. But it's fun to hear people's opinions on why this person's at this spot, and it's just interesting to have them try to back it up.
Yeah. Like, I think the reasoning. The Last Dance has inspired a lot of, you know, conversations and stuff now that's coming out, and because everyone's so sports deprived because of COVID-19. So it's cool to have, you know, dialogue about things.
Yeah.
So almost.
Who's your, okay, so let's start. Who's your number 5 selection for best NBA player of the 1990s?
Number 5, the reason this guy's number 5 and he might not be high enough is because winning counts, and he won 6 rings with the Chicago Bulls. Number 33, Scottie Pippen.
Okay.
And he was, I would say, you know, arguably one of the 3 or 4 best players in basketball when he was, you know, winning rings with Jordan. And Jordan never won anything without him. Period. So, 1-6 rings together all in the 1990s. And I think that he deserves to be on my list for those reasons. He's an incredible player. Otherworldly defensive talent. The guy was just...
Can I read some of his
his
career highlights? He's a 6-time NBA champion, as you said, a 7-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP, 3-time All-NBA First Team, 2-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time All-NBA Third Team, 8-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 2-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Steals Leader in 1995. That's just some of his stuff. It's interesting. But let me ask you, why was he, in 1998, that's when they won their last championship. That's what The Last Dance is about, that season, 97 and 98. Why was he on the NBA, all-NBA third team in 1998? If he had just won his 6th championship, it doesn't really make any sense.
Just shows the lack of respect that the guy got. I mean, from his management, his, you know, he was robbed, flat out robbed for many years. He's making $2 million a year. He's the 155th highest paid player in the NBA, and he was easily one of the top 5 players in the league. And people were making tons of money then. So, he not only was he disrespected by, you know, the NBA and the all these people, he was also disrespected by Bulls management and stuff, so yeah.
And that's interesting. I didn't realize that. So you are right, he did play the majority of his career with Chicago, but then in 1998 to 1999 he went to Houston Rockets. Is that because they offered him more money?
Yes,
but then he was only there for 1 season, and then 1999 to 2003 he was with Portland Trailblazers. Yeah. Then he came back to Chicago for his last time in the States for 2003 to 2004. Why would he go back to the Bulls at that point for that final season before he really got retired?
I think he just wanted to end it where he started. He was right. very.
But they treated him so poorly there.
I know.
So it doesn't really make any sense. Like
the, I wouldn't have gone back.
The front office.
Yeah, in hindsight.
The GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Right, but.
So was he kind of a bust with Houston?
No, I mean, they had a good team. Okay. They just, everyone was old by the time he got there because they had Hakeem Olajuwon, Charles Barkley was there, Pippen. I believe Clyde Drexler was still there too. So they had a really talented team, but they're just old.
And they were past their prime.
Yeah.
Right. So
they just didn't deliver. Everyone expected them to be the greatest team of all time. But
now, was he a point scorer, or did he really pass the ball much?
He could score. I mean, he's a good scorer, too.
Because he only has about a little, almost 19,000 points.
Still pretty good.
Is it? I guess I'm just comparing it to people who have like 30,000.
He played with Michael Jordan his entire career, so
I know.
The greatest scorer of all time. You know, the highest scoring average in NBA history. So that's going to hurt his scoring totals when you play with that guy.
Right. Okay. Okay, who's your number four selection for best NBA player of the 1990s?
Number four, I have to go with Karl Malone, the mailman.
Okay.
Although he did not win any rings, he went to the finals twice against the Bulls, as we know. And he's probably the best player in NBA history not to win a ring. He also failed to win a ring with the Lakers when he went there that year, and they got swept out of the playoffs by
the Pistons.
The Pistons. And the Pistons were just world beaters. Which I was shocked at my jaw. Like, I was like, that's one of the most shocking things I've ever seen.
Was that Malice in the Palace?
No, I'm just saying. The NBA Finals, the Pistons swept the Lakers out of the finals.
And that's when they had Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah.
After they had done their three-peat.
Yeah, the fourth year they got
three. Yeah, that's weird. And then Shaq left after that.
Yeah.
And then he won a title with Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Karl Malone played his first 18 seasons with the Jazz, yes. And he became a formidable duo with John Stockton.
Yep.
Okay.
That's why he's called the Mailman.
Oh. Why?
That's his nickname.
But why?
Because he delivers the mail.
Oh, okay.
He's a great scorer, second, I believe, in NBA history.
Let me just read some of his highlights. A two-time NBA Most Valuable Player. 14-time NBA All-Star, 2-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 11-time All-NBA First Team, 2-time All-NBA Second Team, All-NBA Third Team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA All-Rookie First Team. It's just some of it. It's interesting. Wow, he has almost 37,000 points.
Yes.
Is he the leader?
No, Kareem.
Kareem, and he's number second?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. He's number second. That doesn't make any sense. He's number two.
Yes.
If I can speak properly. He's number second. He's second, yeah.
A lot of people.
And is Michael Jordan third?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure who is third, but.
Or is LeBron third?
I know LeBron passed Kobe. I'm trying to think of everyone over 30,000.
I really thought Michael Jordan's third.
He might be.
Keep talking.
Dirk's got 30,000 points. Jordan's got 30,000 points. LeBron's got 30,000 points. Kobe's got 30,000. Karl Malone. Kareem. Who am I forgetting? Or is that everyone?
So there isn't that many people.
No.
That
Wilt Chamberlain probably got 30,000 too.
LeBron is number three.
Three now, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Kobe's fourth.
Okay.
Wow. But nobody will probably ever hit Kareem because he has almost 38. He's got over 38,000.
I think LeBron will.
Really?
Yeah. I think he'll catch him.
LeBron would have to score like 6,000 more points.
That's easy.
Really?
Yep. He gets about 2,000 a season on average.
I know, but he's getting older.
He's not slowing down any.
Okay. That's interesting, though. Continue to talk. Michael Jordan's fifth.
Yeah. I mean, Karl Malone is a legend. scoring that many points is very, very.
There's only seven people impressive. That have more than 30,000 points. Is that what you said? We got Kareem number one, two Karl Malone, three LeBron, four Kobe, five Michael Jordan, six Dirk Nowitzki, and seven Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes, I got them all.
Wow. And then Shaq is just on the brink with almost 29,000.
I got them all. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's very hard to make, to break the 30,000. Yeah. Isn't it kind of like when somebody hits 3,000?
Hits in baseball or 500 home runs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big milestone.
It's an elite club.
Yeah, special. You got to have a lot of health on your side, incredible longevity. You got to score a ton of points a season. I mean, you got to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a combination of everything.
So Karl Malone. So he went back-to-back to the finals in 97 and 98, correct?
Yes.
But he lost both to the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think if MJ just hadn't been on fire, that the Jazz would have won at least one of those champions? Like, if they were playing against any other team in the East at that time. Because that's what they have to do for the finals, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, sure.
So there was no other team in the East besides the Bulls that could have taken on the Jazz?
Nah.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I feel like the West, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like besides the Bulls, was it really, and maybe the Magic when Shaq was on it, was there ever really a team in the 90s on the East that was even that good?
Well, I mean, yeah. But
really?
The Knicks were good.
The Knicks with Patrick Ewing and maybe 76ers with
Pacers.
AI.
The Pacers were good.
Pacers.
But we're not talking dynasties. We're just talking. Right. They never won titles.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. But I'm saying in the 90s, I feel like the stronger teams were on the West.
Because
we got the Lakers and the Jazz, the Supersonics the or whatever, or the Trailblazers.
Yeah, the Spurs for a year. When Duncan
the Rockets.
Yeah. I believe you're probably right, but Jordan's Bulls own the 90s,
that's what I'm saying.
It's their claim as they're the only team in the East that was even relevant, really. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Pretty much.
Okay.
We ready to go on to number three?
This is interesting, too, with Carmelo, and this is kind of sad. He apparently has the most career postseason losses of any NBA player ever with 95.
Ooh.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, he should have definitely won at least one ring.
Yeah.
Because he was like that good.
Stockton didn't win either. So, you know, he's an all-time assist leader and steals leader in NBA history. So, he played a long time, though. Yeah. And he had the benefit of passing a ball to Malone. So.
Right.
But okay. I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's coming up recently.
Okay.
Just to touch on this.
Okay.
Everyone's talking about the Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton comparison as far as who's the better player. Like, I've seen people talking about this on ESPN. Like, Isaiah Thomas is a way better player than John Stockton was. And I love John Stockton, but prime versus prime, Isaiah Thomas would be him alive.
Yeah.
No doubt. Isaiah Thomas was the reason the Pistons won titles. Okay? Love John Stockton again, but if he didn't have Karl Malone, he probably would never have even made the finals. It's highly unlikely. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's go on to number three.
Who's your number three pick for best player of the 1990s?
Okay, well, Superman from LSU, Shaq Diesel.
Okay. What was Shaq's number when he played for the Magic?
Wasn't it 32?
Okay. All right. Because I'm not seeing that his number was retired by the Magic on this.
Hmm.
That doesn't make...
Probably hasn't wanted him to or something. There's a lot of bad blood there because he left them and went to L.A. and because they basically undercut him and gave him a low ball offer.
Wow.
And Jerry West.
But he had just gone to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, they just lowballed him, pure and simple. And it was like, Shaq was not the type of player that came down the pipe ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unique in NBA history. There's never been anyone like him.
Yeah.
The guy was amazing, especially early on in his NBA career. If you watch him run down the court and just how athletic and thin he was. And
I remember seeing that shot where he broke the glass.
Yeah.
On the hoop.
Yeah. Had he taken his health more serious? I mean, he's already insane, but he could have been, you know, the GOAT if he'd have, or in that argument, if he'd have taken his health a little more serious.
It says number 32 was retired by the Heat.
Yes.
And number 34 was retired by the Lakers.
Yes.
Okay.
He's an amazing talent. You know, he went to the finals in the 90s against Houston. And got swept, him and Penny Hardaway, and I love that team that they had. I had a Penny Hardaway jersey, and it's still in my house. So it's a very, very, very one of the biggest disappointments in history of sports was that they didn't
when they
win
got
titles.
Swept in '95,
or that they didn't win any rings together, Shaq and Penny.
Who did they get? They got swept by the Rockets '95.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, it says, so he went to LSU from 1989 to 1992.
Yeah.
How come he was there for 3 years? Why didn't he leave after one? If he was...
It was a lot more, you know, I don't...
But you had guys coming out of high school like Kobe and KG.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if the role, you know, was still the same back then, but Shaq definitely needed to go to college. He wasn't like that kind of prospect. Yeah, he developed a lot of LSU, honestly. It helped him. He had to grow into it, like his playing form and stuff.
Let me just read you some of his highlights. A 4-time NBA champion, 3-time NBA Finals MVP, NBA Most Valuable Player, only once. That seems insane.
Steve Nash has twice as many.
Yeah. 15-time NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP. 8-time All-NBA first team, 2-time All-NBA second team, 4-time All-NBA third team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive second team, NBA Rookie of the Year, 2-time NBA scoring champion in 1995 and 2000.
How good was Shaq? Here's how good Shaq was. You could take him and, you know, 11 clones of me, put him on the court with him, and he'd probably get us to the finals.
God. Yeah, but then if you're doing that hypothetical situation, then why couldn't he go to the finals every time then?
I'm just saying he would be competitive if, you know, he'd make you competitive, no doubt.
Yeah. Okay. And he was round one, pick one.
Yes.
He's 325.
Yeah. Probably more than that.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
I'm saying at least on his playing career, listed weight. 7'1".
He's a rapper too, baby. Shazam.
Yeah. Kazam.
Kazam.
I saw that in the theater.
God.
Man, oh man. So, anything you else want to add?
Nope.
This is really interesting. So, he signed as a free agent with the Lakers after he left the Magic.
Yes.
It's so weird that he led the team to the Magic, like I said, in 1995 NBA Finals, and then you said they lowballed him, and then he went to the Lakers. Now, do you think if they had given him a better offer, even though he was a free agent, he would have stayed with the Magic?
Yes.
But then you would never have maybe have had that three-peat with Kobe.
Maybe not.
Wow. History would have completely
changed. But Penny
changed.
Hardaway got hurt, too, and he was never really the same either. So, yeah. I think had he stayed with the Magic, Shaq would have won some rings. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Shaq is only one of only 3 players to win NBA MVP, All-Star Game MVP, and Finals MVP awards in the same year, 2000.
Yes.
The other players, do you know who they are?
LeBron?
Nope.
Kobe?
Nope.
Jordan?
Yeah. Michael Jordan in 1996, 1998, and Willis Reed in 1970.
Yeah.
Shaq ranks 8th all-time in points scored, 6th in field goals, 15th in rebounds, and 8th in blocks.
And number one in free throws missed, damn it.
And he also ranks 3rd all-time in field goal percentage, 58.2%.
Yeah. The guy was the most dominant player in NBA history, probably right behind Jordan.
Yeah. So you really believe if he had just maybe focused more on basketball and not, like, all his other, like, you know, the rap albums and everything, that he could have really...
L.A. was good for him, but it was also bad for him. Because, you know, Hollywood, so he fell in love with his own ego a little too much, we went to L.A.
Yeah. I really like his personality, though, like, on TNT with Charles Barkley. He, like, cracks me up, man. He's, yeah, like, buddy.
He's funny. He's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Who's your second all-time best player of the 1990s?
Well, I have to go with my man out of the University of Houston, Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem the Dream. He won back-to-back titles in the mid-90s. Swept Shaq's Magic, and he also beat the Knicks when the juice was loose.
Who's that?
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, okay.
When all that was going
with
on.
The Bronco chase?
Yeah, the Bronco chase.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
The guy's an amazing talent. I'm not saying Hakeem was better than Shaq.
Well, you are on this list.
In the 90s, he definitely was.
Because Shaq was in his prime in the 2000s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's when he won all his championships.
Right. Hakeem was, he was picked first overall in the same draft that took Michael Jordan, so.
Wow, I didn't realize that Hakeem, oh yeah, he's the same age as Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
57.
Yep.
Wow.
They hit the NBA the same year.
Yeah. But he's round one, pick one.
Yes, and Jordan was 3.
Do you know who's number 2?
Sam Bowie.
Yeah, who never really went anywhere.
University of Kentucky.
Wow. But did he ever really do anything?
He was okay, but not.
I never heard of him.
He didn't live up to those expectations.
Wow. Hakeem has almost 27,000 points. So he's like right below Shaq, I think. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
He's a monster. I mean, his moves, his spin moves, his fadeaway. I mean, the guy's, he had guard touch, guard handles. You know, the most beautiful spin moves, I mean, in the history of basketball.
But I thought, wasn't he on a team with Ralph Sampson? Wasn't that that guy?
Yep. There was
in the
Twin Towers.
80s.
Yep.
But he never, did he go to a finals then?
Yeah.
Against who?
The
Celtics.
Yeah.
And they lost to them in what, 85, 86? Was
I
that
believe
it?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And they were really good. Sampson was a beast. I think.
So that just goes to show you how good the Celtics were that year.
Sampson was a legendary college player, but in the NBA he wasn't as good, but he's still really good there for a while when he wasn't hurt. Before he got hurt, I think injuries really messed
up. Let me just read you about Hakeem's career highlights. 2-time NBA champion, 2-time NBA Finals MVP, an NBA Most Valuable Player, 12-time NBA All-Star, 6-time All-NBA First Team, 3-time All-NBA Second Team, 3-time All-NBA Third Team, 2-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, 5-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 4-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, 2-time NBA Rebounding Leader, 3-time NBA Blocks Leader.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just
he
amazing.
He retired with the most blocks in NBA history for a career, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Yep.
It's incredible. And you're right. Ralph Sampson was 7'4".
Yeah, I mean...
Yep.
That's a good one, too.
They led the Rockets to the 1986 NBA Finals, where they lost in 6 games to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, 6 games is pretty good, man.
This is interesting. Despite very nearly being traded during a bitter contract dispute between the 1992-93 season, he remained in Houston, where in 1993-94, he became the only player in NBA history to win the NBA MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Finals MVP awards in the same season.
Yeah, wow.
His Rockets won back-to-back championships against the New York Knicks, avenging his college championship loss to Patrick Ewing and Shaquille O'Neal's Orlando Magic.
Yep.
And you're right. He ended his career as the league's all-time leader in blocks, 3,830, and is one of 4 NBA players to record a quadruple-double.
Wow.
What is that?
That's up to 10, a stat that goes to 10
right.
in 4 categories.
Mm-hmm. they accumulate 10 or more in 4 or 5 statistical categories in a game.
Wow. I want to say that Shaq got one of those too, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I don't know. That's interesting. It says center David Robinson is the most recent NBA player to accomplish the feat of a quadruple-double by recording at least 10 points, rebounds, assists, and blocks in the game.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's nuts.
This feat's extremely rare. Only 4 players have officially recorded it.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing.
It's very, very hard. The triple-double is impressive, but, you know, quadruple-double is just very, very hard. Next to impossible.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently, the first American male player above the high school level to officially record a quadruple-double was Nate Thurman, who achieved this feat in 1974 while playing for the NBA Chicago Bulls. That's interesting.
Yes.
So wait, exactly, what does it mean, though? Like, I'm just a little bit confused.
Okay.
They accumulate 10 or more in 4 or 5 categories.
So
does that mean you have to get at least 10 points?
Yes.
So like 10 points, 10 rebounds.
But any statistical category, basically. Well, like steals.
Right.
10 steals, 10 blocks.
Exactly.
10 rebounds, 10 assists.
That's what I mean.
Right.
But like you have to get at least 10 for each of those.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be points, but there's only 5 categories. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, and block shots.
Right.
So you would have to get everything else besides the points.
Yes.
And that is really rare?
Yes. It's very hard to block 10 shots in a game and get
right.
10 steals. It's hard. Those are the hardest things. Assists and rebounds and points are much easier to get 10 of. I mean, you know.
Because I always felt like getting 10 points in the game is pretty easy.
Cool,
because especially if you're getting threes.
Yeah. Like,
there it is. You get 4 threes and you did it.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
3 threes. And a,
no, I'm... Well, yeah, but I'm saying,
free
like...
Free throws.
Yeah. Free throws are, like, 2 points each. So, it's, like,
yes.
Then you, like, get 5, and there it is. You
yep.
know? I feel like that's a lot easier. But, yeah, I guess you're right, especially with block shots, because when I watch games, it's really hard to block people's shots or to steal a ball, as you said. All right, anything else you want to add about him?
No. I think everyone knows about Shaq. I mean, he's one of the most famous NBA players.
So, how come you...
In the world.
When we were talking about Akeem.
Oh, yeah. And Akeem, yeah.
Yeah. How come you put Akeem as your second? Is that because you said Shaq really came into his prime in the 2000s where he won all his rings? Akeem won his 2 rings in the 90s.
Yeah.
So that's when his prime was.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was at his peak in the 90s. And he beat Shaq in a heads up. And he didn't just beat him. He whooped him.
In the finals, yes.
Yep.
It's incredible to think about.
I know.
Wow. I wonder if that game's online.
Yes, I watched it.
Oh, you watched it? No, I wonder if it's on YouTube.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Anyway, all right, who's your number one selection? I mean, there's no suspense here. Who's your number one pick for best player of the 1990s?
Well, I think it's got to be the guy from North Carolina. Number 23/45. Yeah, he did that when he came back from retirement.
With the Wizards?
No, and the Bulls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, he's 23, 12, and 45.
Yeah.
Who was he with 12?
I think that's like his Olympic number or something.
Oh, okay. No, 23 with by the Heat. This says number 23 retired by the Heat.
Well, a lot of teams retire his number.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't mean you play for them.
Okay.
So, yeah, Michael Jordan's number one, 6 rings.
Yeah.
Greatest player ever.
He
dominated the 90s, unlike any other athlete has ever dominated an era, probably. I mean, he was a monster.
Let me just read his career highlights. I did this in the previous ep, but I'll just do it again for people. 6-time NBA champion, 6-time NBA Finals MVP, 5-time NBA Most Valuable Player, 14-time NBA All-Star. So that's interesting. So he wasn't an All-Star. He was an All-Star basically all the years he was there, except his first year. That's what it looks like, basically. It's incredible. He was actually a 14-time NBA All-Star even when he came back with the Wizards.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that because of nostalgia or because people really thought he was great?
He was still good. He was still averaging 20 points a game.
Wow.
You know, north of that.
3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP. And that was in 1988 was his first one.
Yep.
10-time All-NBA First Team. All-NBA Second Team. NBA Defensive Player of the Year. 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, NBA Rookie of the Year, 10-time NBA Scoring Champion, 3-time NBA Steals Leader, 2-time NBA Slam Dunk Contest Champion. Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, a lot more, obviously. He's got almost, he's got a little bit over 32,000 points.
Never lost an NBA Finals, 6-0 in the Finals, which is still impressive.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's amazing. He's got 2 3-peats. Never
forced a game 7 in the finals either.
He never went to game 7?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He beat the Lakers, the Trailblazers, and then the Suns, and then for the first 3-peat, and then the Sonics, and Jazz for the second one. So
this is interesting, too. When he came back after his first retirement, he did a then record 72 regular season wins in the 1995-96 NBA season.
Which was just surpassed by the Golden State Warriors a few years ago.
Wait a second. It says he retired for a second time in January 1999. So does that mean he played some of the 1998 season with the Bulls? Or was he just not there?
Well, he was not there.
But he hadn't retired yet.
Right.
So he just didn't come back for that season?
Well, that's when his career ended. Until Washington.
No, but they're saying he retired in January 1999. But the season starts in, like, October. So he just wasn't showing up?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Last time we saw him in a Bulls uniform was when he hit the shot over Byron Russell in the finals.
And that's what The Last Dance is about.
Yes.
Of course, we all know that he is known for his product endorsements. He fueled the success of Nike's Air Jordan, which remain popular today. They were introduced in 1984. And like I was telling you, because you were watching The Last Dance, Episode 5, I was saying to you, like, he started endorsements the year he came into the draft.
Yeah.
So people, like, wanted him. He was that great in college.
Yes.
He became part owner and head of basketball operations for the Charlotte Bobcats, now Hornets, in 2006 and bought a controlling interest in 2010. So he actually doesn't own the whole team?
No.
In 2014, he became the first billionaire player in NBA history with a net worth of $2.1 billion. He is the fourth richest African American behind Robert F. Smith, David Stewart, and Oprah Winfrey. Jeez. Wow.
Impressive.
Yeah. And we were, I was reading, and I told you this, I said, he was offered $100 million years ago for 2 hours of work or something, and he turned it down. That's how you know you got money.
Yeah.
When you can just dismiss $100 million.
Definitely.
We should all be so lucky.
Yes.
That's how you know you've reached the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Anything else you want to add? So what have you learned, though, about him and The Last Dance? He was very – what I never realized is I haven't watched the show yet, but I was reading online. Like, he had a lot of feuds. People did not like him. People don't think he's a nice guy. He's very arrogant, which, I mean, maybe you can understand it. But he's also – people are saying he's bitter and petty about, like, grudges.
That's just kind of how basketball players are. Because when you play basketball, you got to think – you're a better man, or you got to think that you're better than the guy you're going up against, or you have no chance, even if you're not.
Wow, this is really interesting. And I want to know if, like, you know this. He did not miss 4 or more games while active for a full season from 1986-87 to 2001-2002 when he injured his right knee. Of the 15 seasons Jordan was in the NBA, he played all 82 regular season games 9 times. Jordan has frequently cited David Thompson, Walter Davis, and Jerry West as influences. Confirmed at the start of his career and possibly later on, Jordan had a special love of the game clause written into his contract, unusual at the time, which allowed him to play basketball against anyone, anytime, anywhere.
It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. Cool, yeah. And this is interesting too. He had a versatile offensive game. He was capable of aggressively driving to the basket as well as drawing fouls from his opponents at a high rate. His 8,772 free throw attempts are the 11th highest total in NBA history. And then Hubie Brown says that Jordan's trademark fadeaway jump shot, using his leaping abilities to fade away from block attempts, made him nearly unstoppable.
Yes, I agree.
Despite media criticism as a selfish player, quote-unquote, earlier in his career, Jordan's 5.3 assists per game also indicates his willingness to defer to the team, his teammates. And you agree with that. Like, he gave that shot to Steve Kerr, who hit it at, like, the buzzer to win the championship 1 year.
Yep.
It's amazing. So, I mean, of course, NBA players, like, athletes have to have egos. But there's a difference between, like, having an ego and, like, being an ass.
Yes.
Like, off the court. That's the difference. Like, do you think, like, even though Michael Jordan has been retired for almost, you know, 20 years at this point, why is he still, I mean, he's a billionaire, the only billionaire in NBA history.
Yes.
Why do you think he's still, like, mad at people?
I don't know, man.
Like, don't you think he should just enjoy his life?
Yeah, I do.
He's accomplished so much. It's like, you're the GOAT. Like, everyone, there's, like, really no disputing that he's the GOAT.
Right.
Maybe people can argue about who's in the top 10, but I think everybody unanimously agrees that Michael Jordan's the GOAT.
Yes.
Kind of like how Tom Brady's, like, the GOAT of football. Because if you're just looking at, like, pure rings and accomplishments, it's like, I mean, maybe not even rings, because there's people like Bill Russell, who has, like, 12, right?
Yes.
I'm just saying, like, with everything Michael Jordan, I mean, he's a household name. Like, who doesn't know him? He's, like, an empire. So it's interesting, right?
Yep. Yep.
And you would highly recommend The Last Dance.
I would.
Documentary.
It's cool. I would definitely check it out if you haven't seen it, even if you're not a big basketball fan.
Yes, I plan on watching it at some point. I definitely want to. It definitely looks interesting, and I see you watch it, and I mean, it's right up my alley, so I'll definitely check it out. All right, anyway, this was fun. I'm glad that you could talk about, you know, your selections for your top five NBA players of the 1990s. I think it was an interesting conversation and discussion.
Definitely.
And I hope that you learned something. I definitely learned something from researching this.
Yeah.
So hopefully everyone enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned and stay safe and stay healthy.
Goodbye.
Bye.